you did a thing on Monday night that you do a lot, and I realized because of this one line that you said, like, I realized why you do it, which, let me back up. You and I are both volunteer Young Life leaders. So, you know, so we have Young Life Club, which is like a party / variety show that we throw for kids.
Never heard it called a variety show, but that's exactly right.
It's exactly what it is. Music, game, skits. Stop it, Yoj.
Yoshi's Lee's dog is chewing on a squeaky toy. For those of you who've never listened to our show, we record our podcast on Lee's couch in his living room. So we have a guest every week.
Yeah.
She's four legs and a tail.
Yeah, she's a furry guest. Anyway, so part of this variety show this past Monday, one of your responsibilities and roles was to do a skit, like just a walk-on little sketch. And I realized, like, I've never thought about it before, but you have now done the Hurley Boy with lots of different people, which is, and like, I didn't think about the fact that, like, it's basically your go-to. Like,
oh yeah, it's my like go-to.
The Hurley Boy, would you describe what the Hurley Boy is for the uninitiated?
Yeah, it's an old SNL skit written by Adam Sandler and Chris Farley, where Adam Sandler plays this, like, kid who does, there's a few different ones. There's the house sitting service, there's the granny sitting service, like there's a few different things. But he's basically, like, creepily / awkwardly trying to get you, the TV audience, to allow him to house sit. So he goes a layer deeper every time with things he wants to do. And then Chris Farley plays, I guess, like, his handler or something, you know, like, he's a spokesman.
Yeah.
And Farley, the deeper Sandler goes with the, like, the creepy way of house sitting for you. There's, like, a hair in my mouth. It's it's kind of wearing me out. But Farley
I thought you were twisting your mustache like a supervillain.
No, but Farley gets angrier and angrier. And yeah, I've done it with 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 4 people at this point.
Yeah, I mean, like,
it's Farley. I'm always Sandler.
Yeah, and you're very good at it. But there was a thing that. When you also, so Thomas also did the talk on Monday night at club. So, you know, gave a message about Jesus to
which is why I did the Hurley Boy. I had to spend all my energy writing a talk, and I was like, I need to do something fun.
Oh, okay.
So, here's the thing that I know really well.
But when you were closing out the night and you were praying and stuff, you said this thing of, like, I'm so glad that we had so much fun tonight and that I got to be my favorite actor of all time. And I was like, there it is.
Which, okay, you want to hear something crazy?
It's like cosplay for you.
Oh, yeah. Lucas, the guy who did Chris Farley, who's a friend of mine who's in high school, at Oak Ridge High School, the first time I opened my mouth to practice that skit with him, he said, you do a pretty good Adam Sandler. And I was like, well, yeah, he's my favorite actor of all time. He's like, dude, he's my favorite actor of all time.
Oh, stop.
Yeah, and I was like, let's go. But he was like, but I don't do a good impression of him. Like,
I mean,
that.
There's Denzel Washington. There's Mark Rylance.
Okay, what we have to clarify. I did not say the best actor of all time.
You said my favorite.
My favorite actor of all time. Those are different statements.
it's like Tom Smoke Wicklund saying the greatest actor of all time is Keanu Reeves. It's like, you like Keanu Reeves, but he is widely and pretty universally accepted as the worst actor.
I mean, so there's all those things in your life. Like, you've got my favorite TV show of all time, which it's like a toss up between
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah, and How I Met Your Mother. So you have the best TV show of all time.
Right.
I have a handful of things that I would argue for, Breaking Bad, the first season you don't need to. But the first season of, gosh, what was that show with Woody Harrelson and
True Detective?
True Detective season 1. Oh my gosh, I could never watch it again.
You've described this to me, especially one particular thing. But there's some scene where the camera never stops rolling. Like, it's like,
yeah, it's like a 2 or 3 minute continuous shot.
Wow.
Whopper pointed it out to me. He was just like, have you seen that scene? And I was like, that's what it was. I didn't even realize it was.
Yeah, Whopper told me about that too.
Yeah. So we all have those things.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not saying this is the best. I'm saying it's my favorite. Right. Yeah.
Like, you could, statistically speaking, Adam Sandler is probably one of the worst actors of all time. as far as like Metacritic or right. Rotten Tomatoes ratings.
Sure.
If you look at his movies, you're like, oh, buddy. Then you look at his like celebrity net worth and you're like, oh, buddy. You're like, it doesn't matter how good your movies
yeah,
are.
Yeah, no.
People doesn't. Pay for them.
Right.
And you have fun doing them. And you get all your friends together and you yeah, go to some crazy place and film it.
And that's the coolest part about, to me, that's the coolest part about Adam Sandler is like, it's just like him and his friends are like, oh, let's just go here and make a movie, you know?
I mean, like, how many times has he gone to Hawaii to shoot a movie? How many times? There's one in South Africa
yeah.
at a safari.
Yeah, like, there's one that's just like on a cruise to the coolest places in the world.
Yes.
Yeah. That's really, really fun. So, yeah, my thing about this is like, I think, you know, we have like our favorite restaurant in Knoxville. We're not saying it's the best restaurant in Knoxville.
Probably
it's
is. Like,
we're going to Stir Fry Cafe.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Taste of Thai.
Or Taste of Thai. But you know what? It's like all of a sudden Taste of Thai is like, hey, we're not open on Tuesdays. And then when you go to Stir Fry Cafe, they're like, yeah, we're closed on Tuesdays as well. And I'm like, wait, is there like a Knoxville-wide no egg roll policy on Tuesdays? Like you just can't get one?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I just want Taste of Thai now. Nothing like a 8:30 Taste of Thai. I would totally eat Taste of Thai.
It's so funny. Like the with Smoke Wicklund, like the
does he listen to our show?
There's no way Smoke listens to this show. But it's just weird to me that, like, I mean, he defends Keanu Reeves so hard.
I can't think of a movie he's in outside of The Matrix or John Wick. He's John Wick, right?
He is John Wick. And the thing is like, those movies are enjoyable. But it's not because of Keanu's acting, because the acting is just bad. It's just bad.
I don't even know.
Did you watch The Matrix, though?
No.
You didn't watch The Matrix? I'm going to Tom Job you right now.
Look, dude, we just need to realize that, like, it's like when I was 24 and I finally realized I don't like eggs. You know, it took me that long to come out and say it. Like, do I like movies? Yes. Do I, like, a good movie to me is just, it's amazing. It'll drop my jaw. Am I going to drop everything to watch a movie? No. I don't know why. I've never come out and said that. You know, like,
this is a big moment for you.
Yeah.
I don't like eggs. I'm not knocking down
now what we're doing movies. On Friday.
Oh yeah.
It's with all my friends. Of course I'm going to go see that movie. Yeah. I'm with a bunch of my friends. This is awesome.
And you're going to like it.
Am I
going to have fun?
You know, like if Maddie is like, let's go see this movie. I'm like, heck yeah, let's go see this movie. It's never going to be like, I have to stop everything I'm doing to watch this movie.
I've got
to
watch this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a place where you and I diverge. I love movies. I just love them.
I do too. But I don't like watching them.
Welcome to Ancient and New. That made no sense.
It takes up so much time. I just want to play outside. Yesterday I took Jude bird watching because it was 65 degrees.
Oh god!
And it was so fun.
Oh, I love movies. I don't like watching them. What does that mean? That doesn't mean anything.
You can't talk. When you're watching a movie, you can't talk. What am I supposed to do?
Tell that to Jack that you can't talk because my man talks the whole time. Last night, no joke. Jay fell asleep in the middle of the movie Thor. Just fell asleep. Mm. Just KO'd. He was gonzo. Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a Bible study podcast. We're going to talk about some scriptures. Did you want to start this morning, or do you want to go second?
I never want to be second. No, I'm just kidding. That's against our scriptures. You go ahead. You go first. Man,
I never want to be second. Like,
I just damned myself by saying that, basically.
I never want to be second. Yoshi, everybody can hear that. Everybody can.
First shall be last. And I literally just.
I never want to be second.
What's going on today?
That should be your bio.
No, that shouldn't be. I need to grow.
Gosh, I can't see this.
Oh, okay. You don't have your reading glasses on.
I don't.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 1.
2 Corinthians.
Uh-oh. Oh, gosh. Second Corinthians chapter 1. Ooh. Okay. I'm going to start in verse 8. Okay. Oh, my word. That was so funny. Oh, this is the Apostle Paul writing. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Gosh, I mean, that is super intense. Like, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. Mm. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He's delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us. And then in the same spirit, in the same thought, there's something else down a little bit farther. Verse 21. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Mm-hmm. I love this scripture not because I have been through a season so difficult that I despaired of life or that was beyond my ability to endure. I've had a pretty cushy existence so far. I've had hard things happen to me. I've had heartbreaks. I've had very deep frustrations. I've had some things, but like never a situation where I'm like, this is so bad that I think I'm not going to make it through. Mm. And Paul says, whatever this was, he says, part of what was going on there is so that we would learn to rely on God. Mm. And part of what was happening was, like, the way he says it is that we might not rely on ourselves on God, but on God who raises the dead. It's like, even if we were to die, we have one that we rely on who actually can raise the dead. Mm. And that's...
Yeah, he like drops the hammer there.
He's
like,
yeah.
By the way, he can raise the dead.
He can raise the dead. And so, which is interesting too, because if you just are reading through the New Testament, you know, you would get to the end of 1 Corinthians. The second to last chapter of 1 Corinthians is like a dissertation on the resurrection of the dead. It's like Paul says the most incredibly cool stuff about God raising people from the dead and raising Jesus from the dead. And so our hope is set on that he's going to raise us from the dead. And he talks about that whole deal. And so then you would get right into 2 Corinthians and he's like, by the way, we went through some stuff that was so bad. We thought we were going to die. And part of what was going on there was that we would not rely on ourselves. Mm. There is like the concept of dependence. Right now, it feels like the Lord is just hammering this into my consciousness over and over and over again in different little ways. Talking about him putting his spirit in us, like the concept of, I've been spending a lot of time this week just because of the message I'm getting ready for Sunday. I've been spending a lot of time in the book of Colossians this week. And part of the whole thing in Colossians is Paul saying like, I got to tell you the mystery. The mystery that you would not understand this unless God revealed it. Like, I wouldn't understand it unless God revealed it to me, but he has. So I'm passing it on to you. And here's the secret. Almighty God, the Son, actually lives inside you.
Yeah.
You are not a lone wolf. Like, you're not like a secret agent out there by yourself having to make do and figure it out and solve the puzzle and keep yourself alive. You actually have the most powerful being in the universe is actually alive inside you, walking you through your life. And this is a kind of a companion piece to that. It's like, and by the way, when you go through really, really difficult times, one of the lessons you're supposed to learn is, hey, buddy, you don't have to do this solo. This is not a solo piece. Yeah. This is, you are part of a team and you are never, ever, ever by yourself. And you're going to learn this the hard way or the happy way, to steal a line from myself from Sunday morning. But like, you're going to learn this the hard way or the happy way. But like, I'm with you all the time. Hmm. And that's with my spirit inside you. And like, I just feel like learning the, how do we say this? Learning in practical ways to believe and experience the reality of the Holy Spirit is probably like one of the most critical things I can do for my own experience of my life.
Okay.
So living well, having an enjoyable life, making it through difficult things, all of those things, my learning to do my relationships better. The key element to that is learning the truth of the Holy Spirit. He is in me. He lives in me. He is powerful. He's constantly saying like, hey, I'll help.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
I'll help.
Yeah.
I'm right here. Hmm. Just ask. Last Wednesday, we have a small group, kind of like a grown-up campaigners group in my house. And Charlie Job, who's Tom Job's son and my best friend from college and before and since and everything, he texted and was like, hey, can I come over early? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Come over. Come, you know, he's like, I want to hang out with Jack. And it's like, so cool. Wants to see his Boba Fett helmet, all that stuff. And so like, he comes over and I was like, yeah, man, I had to call, there was like a truck in the driveway and it was the utility district because pilot light had gone out in my hot water heater. Mm. And I was like, yeah, I had to call the utility guy and it's after hours. And so he has to, you know, but he's doing me a favor. He's coming over to, because basically we got flooded all last week. Just like my crawl space, your basement, just completely flooded from all the rain that we got. And I was like, yeah, I had to call this guy. And Charlie goes, why didn't you call me? And I was like, oh yeah, I have friends that know how to do everything.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, just call me. Like if something needs to be done, just holler at me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things that I'm being taught in so many ways in scripture. I'm not getting my butt kicked right now as far as just like normal life.
Yeah.
I don't have a tiny human waking me up at 3 a.m. like you do or anything like that. So that I'm just ragged and sleepy all the time.
Sure.
But like, but I think that's one of the lessons he's walking me through is just like, you do not have to do things by yourself. Mm. You need to rely on the one who literally can raise the dead.
Right. It's funny that you're talking about like dependence on the Lord, because I think like in times in my life where I've longed for other things, it's never been like, oh, I wish like I see this person who's famous and has this thing. I want that life. It's so fun. Like I've never really struggled with that. The thing that I will find myself, like I in the past have found myself longing for is, are times in my life where I've been completely dependent on Jesus, yeah. Which is funny because like, that should never change, right? That shouldn't be like, I've gone through periods of that.
Yeah.
And like in all reality, I am completely dependent on Jesus, but there have been times in my life where I have felt that in a different, on a different level.
Yeah.
And like you're saying, like not because I'm on the brink of death or I'm not going to make it through, but there have been seasons in my life where I have felt that differently. And like, part of me is like, is that what it's like? I don't know. It's just, I'm trying to describe how I'm feeling, but I think about like my freshman year of college that, I mean, that's so funny to say, but like I was massively depressed, and I have found myself in seasons of my life longing for that, not depression, but like, gosh, I missed my freshman year of college, and I've realized it was like, oh, I was massively depressed, and literally the only thing that made me through it was my relationship with Jesus. Like,
yeah, it was school.
It was
like boot camp.
Yeah, and I learned a ton, and I learned about him a ton, and it was just like, I'll never forget that season of life because I didn't really know what to do except like, wake up, read the Bible, go to class, read the Bible, come home, read the Bible, go eat, go back home, go on a run, talk to Jesus. Like I literally, like that was what I did my freshman year because I was like, this is the only thing keeping me upright. And, I'm realizing the older I get, like, yeah, I don't have to go through a season of depression for that. I don't have to go through a season of unemployment and not having money. Like those are like landmarks in my life of massive spiritual growth
for sure,
which I think is a true thing. I think the Lord takes us through things like that and we come out on the other side growing and learning a ton. But at this season of life at 28, where I have a job and I have a home and I have two vehicles at work, and ish. My wife is awesome. Yeah, ish. My wife is awesome, and our baby is awesome. Like, it would be really easy for me just to like sit down in my beach chair,
throw it in cruise control,
stare out at the ocean, drink my Mai Tai, and just like, I've never actually had a Mai Tai, so I don't even know what that is, but it just sounds like a beachy drink.
Yeah.
And just, you know, read, you know, have my quiet time in the morning, have my coffee, post about it on Instagram, and then go about my day or whatever the thing is. And when in reality, when things are going well, I should be just as dependent on Jesus.
Yes.
And that's
exactly,
I'm learning that. It's taken me 28 years to learn that.
And that's the heartbeat of what I'm saying about the understanding what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit is like, it's constant. You made me think of two things. One is, that song we sing at church sometimes about like maker and keeper, my redeemer, savior and lover like no other. Like, it's like, we think that, like, because we're thrown into reliance and dependence when we're in a super difficult thing, not remembering that, like, oh, he's, like, the Colossians 1 says, he sustains everything by his powerful, like, he's holding my molecules together.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, like, when you think about, like, centrifugal force, it's like, why aren't electrons flying away from the atom, from the nucleus? Like, what is happening? How is this all staying together? And probably some person that understands physics and chemistry better than me is just like rolling their eyes. But like, the other thing you made me think of, so he's like, he's keeping everything together all the time. I should always have this sense of dependence. Yeah. But the other thing that you made me think of was when we said, you talk about throw it in cruise control. There's a guy that comes to our church who used to be a high school kid at our church. And he told me one week when he first started driving, like, I figured out the secret to gas mileage is it's cruise control. And I was like, really? And he was like, yeah, I mean, you throw it in cruise control all the time, you're just going to use so much less gas. And then a couple weeks later, he came to me and he was like, hey, that thing I said about cruise control, it's super not true. He was like, use a lot more gas with cruise control.
Yeah, because like when you go up a hill, it's going to keep it at 30 miles an hour. That's right. And it has to give it more gas. That's funny.
It was very, it's like sometimes people just tell you something, and you just let it roll over. You're like, sure, buddy.
Well, yeah, because he's not asking.
No.
He's not like, hey, declaring. I learned this thing. What do you think about it? He's saying, it's like, okay. Sometimes you got to learn things.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you've been driving a car since 1996, but guess what I just discovered?
Yeah. Hey, you've never thought of this. No. Yeah. I mean, just like to sum up my thoughts, the things I've learned is I'm happiest when I'm dependent on Jesus.
Absolutely.
Completely.
Where
in,
we?
Even okay. In, yeah, sorry. Psalm 39.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, okay, so this is kind of a, I had a moment this morning when I was reading this that I'm like, I'm laughing at now. Because it's one of those things, it's a head scratcher because I've never really thought it before. And it's so silly and obvious. Like, okay. I read this and I wanted to figure out who Hedgethune is.
Yeah.
I went to whatever the Greek, and it just was like, oh, he was a director of the choir. Like,
nice.
That's who he was. And it's a man's name who directed the choir.
Yeah.
And he's in the Chronicles in there somewhere. And, but anyways, I had this moment where like, I mean, all the Psalms to some degree had music to them. Some of them had very, you know, they would be like, all right, this song is to the tune of Lily of the Valleys. You know, like, right. It was like very obvious, like this is how they sung this and whatever. And we don't know that song today necessarily, but they all had melodies to them, and they're all sung in certain environments. Like the Psalms of the Ascent, were right. On your way up to Jerusalem for during pilgrimages or whatever. And that's when they were sung. And then you had ones that are just like this one. It's for the director of music for Hedgethune, a Psalm of David. And I just, like, I had a moment where I thought, like, oh, yeah, they sang this in church, which is so silly, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
duh, sure. Like, it's a psalm that it was sung in church. But then I was thinking about, like, songs we sing in church and, like, it, you know, you're the guy who, I don't know what you would title yourself musically at our church. What would you call yourself?
It's always been worship leader.
Okay, there you go. So you are the worship leader at our church. You have written songs for our church for 2 decades.
Yeah.
You have put together set lists. You have led us in music. And I'm starting to dip my toe in the water in that and lead music some weeks. Like when you're preaching.
Very well, by the way.
I appreciate that. But there's a lot of thought that goes into it. It's not just like, hey, I'm going to slap this song together that, like, I'm going to write this song just because it's catchy and it says some Christian-y things. And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And we don't do songs like that at our church for a reason, right? Like,
right.
There are vapid songs that we leave. And like, you know, like, I'm not going to call anything out. There's no reason to, but like, because if it fills you up, it fills you up. But there's a thought. I'm just trying to say there's a thought process behind what we sing at our church.
Very intentional.
It's very intentional. They're meaningful. There's scripture behind them. They're right. Pointed at our audience and what we think is going to help them through their week. And
there's a thing in Ephesians chapter 5, not to cut you off, that says, you know, like encouraging one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs or songs of the Spirit. And it's like, mm-hmm. we always try to have all three of those elements in right. in the worship set list.
Mm-hmm.
We want to have some hymn represented because
right.
they usually are thicker and they teach, you know? And
right.
then we want to have just like some songs of the Spirit, just like simple little chorus that just takes you to the Lord. And then, you know, psalms, like things that are like straight from Scripture.
Right. So all those things boil down to important things that are going to help you through your week in some right. way. And things that really matter. And things that we think matter to the Lord, right? So I, it's weird that this was a revelation for me at 28, and I've been leading music helping lead music for 7 years now at our church
right.
since 2015. And just in reading the psalm today, I just put it through the lens of someone who also leads worship at our church. I was like, okay, I'm gonna look at this knowing that this was written specifically and sent to a specific director of the choir.
Yeah.
As if David is saying, like, hey, I'm writing this for you all to do at church because it's important.
Yeah.
And like, you're listening to this, someone out there was like, well, duh, I'm skipping over this part because, like, duh, Thomas, have you not understood this? And it's like, I have. I haven't thought this hard about it. And all of a sudden I did today. So I was reading this and saying, what's important to the Lord for his people to sing about? And you know, there's 150 of them. They all are. But just through Thomas's lens today, when I read this during the morning, I was thinking to myself, like, dang, okay, what's important to the Lord? And on my day to day, what is going to be important for me to understand that the Lord wants me to understand?
And I'm gonna
skip over the beginning, which is all, it's funny, I'm saying what's important, I'm skipping part of it because all of it is, but some of it caught my eye more so than others. Verse 4 says, show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth, which I was looking that up, and it's literally just the width of your hand.
Right.
Yeah, the width of your hand. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. Surely everyone goes around like a mere phantom. In vain they rush about, heaping up wealth without knowing where it will finally be. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Save me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of fools. I was silent. I would not open my mouth, for you are the one who has done this. Remove your scourge from me. I am overcome by the blow of your hand. When you rebuke and discipline anyone for their sin, you consume their wealth like a moth. Surely everyone is but a breath. And then he ends by saying, hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for help. Do not be deaf to my weeping. I dwell with you as a foreigner, a stranger, as all my ancestors were. Look away from me, that I may enjoy life again, before I depart and am no more. It feels dark and heavy and deep and also just good. I don't know. Like it felt like it fit in the groove of my life. But I think about David's writing here, and he's driving home the idea that our life is short, right? And I've talked about that a lot on here. It feels like I want to live that way my life, and that could be viewed as reckless. That could be viewed as whatever. You know, that feels like I don't know. Like it feels like a pejorative for like a hippie surfer. Like life's short, man. Live fast. You know what I mean? Like, and that's not really what I'm saying. But also, kind of like I'm like, yeah, life's short. I want to soak it in. Like I want to do things, but more importantly, I want to care about things that matter while I'm on this earth.
Yes.
Like, there's a line in here about in vain they rush about heaping up wealth without knowing whose it will finally be.
Right.
It's like, I don't want to waste time on this earth caring about things that, like, I don't even know where they're going to end up, because I may not make it. And we're living in a world right now that feels like, this feels more real. The fragility of life and the shortness of life, just knowing what's going on halfway around the world. I don't know if we have people who listen in the countries involved with this. Like, maybe we do, maybe we don't. Maybe that's vain of me to even think that someone halfway around the world could get this podcast in their hands. But if you are, know that we're praying for you right now.
Yeah.
And we care about you, and you're on our hearts, and what's going on is scary and sad, and frankly is making me kind of angry about things that are going on in the world. And there's a psalm, two psalms before this, that says, hey, don't fret when wicked people follow through with their schemes.
Yeah.
And that feels a little bit like, I want to be careful saying that right now because it's scary, but at the same time, like, okay, like, someone wicked is falling through with their schemes, and it's just happening, and it is scary and sad. It is drawing to the surface what is important in the world to me right now. It's making me think about things that are important. It's making me think about what matters and what the Lord wants me to do with my life.
Yeah.
It feels crazy to me right now when I get on social media, and I'm a part of this. Like, I do my Wordle. I when I get on my laptop, I'll scroll through Twitter and see what's happening in the sports world. I'm getting fed up with the MLB situation. It's driving me crazy. They're arguing about dollars and cents, and like, it makes me mad.
Yeah.
Not because they're arguing about dollars and cents, but because I'm not going to have baseball.
Right.
And then, it's so funny. I'm thinking about all this. I'm literally talking to myself right now. But at the same time, halfway around the world, people's lives are just, they're losing them left and right over land and money and power. And we just keep going on doing our thing right now. And, you know,
to quote Tolkien, what will men do under such reckless hate?
Yeah.
You know, and which is such a great line, but like, yeah, I mean, to go back to your original point about bringing this up in the first place, when you think about, like Tom was talking to me recently about like, hey, like we need more songs for the guys in the prison and for what they're going through, you know? And so you think about like, And that's the way that we think about making a set list for our church too.
Right.
Like, where are our people and what do we need to be thinking about? What are the, I mean, it's like when, you know, it's like when Russia invaded Ukraine late Wednesday night, and then you put on our set list, like, we're singing a song about heaven. First of all, we need to remember like, hey, this is not my home. I'm going to my home. And that's how we opened up Sunday morning. You know, it's like, it's so, so cool. But like, you know, for David to think like, hey, there's something on the set list this weekend when we're singing to the Lord, we need to remember this is a little life. Mm. It's short. It's going to be over soon. And you don't waste it gathering up a bunch of crap that you don't even know who's going to get it. Mm. Make your life count for something, you know? And I love that concept. I love the concept of like somebody thinking, what is it that needs to be on my mind as I go towards the Lord.
I mean, I think if you've listened to our podcast for any period of time, first of all, thank you. I don't know how you put up with some of the things that we do outside of scripture and some of the things we say about scripture. But I think you've probably learned that Lee and I probably both have some mantras that we fall back on within the scripture, things that, and you're probably this way too. If you are a follower of Jesus, there are probably things that the Lord recycles and drives home in certain seasons of your life and reminds you of, and or that you just attach your, I'm sorry, I know you're running late to your haircut. Well, I wasn't trying to throw shade at you. I just saw you check your watch and I was like, no, I'm sorry, I'm talking way more than I should.
No, you're good.
But you've probably learned that we have things that the Lord rubs our noses in, and or we rub our nose in them because they matter to us. And this is one of those for me. I probably land on this once every 6 months on this show. Something about the fragility of life and how short it is, and the things that are important. And I just wonder what it would do, not even in the world, but amongst believers, if we got up every day and we said, okay, I don't know how much time I have on this earth.
Yeah.
I'm sure as heck not going to waste it.
Right.
There are things the Lord's asking me to care about. What if I cared about them instead right. about all the stupid things that I really do?
Yeah.
You know, like, it just fires me up. Cause I'm like, what would, how dramatic would the world change if Christians did that?
Oh gosh.
Not people who run countries and are evil.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about that.
Yeah.
Because like, it's not fair of me to put those expectations on them, frankly, but also it's proven that it's not going to change.
Yeah.
The world who is the people in this world who are driven by power, money, greed, and wealth are going to do what they're going to do. I'm praying that it changes one day, and it's going to. This place is going to burn down and it's going to be made new, and I can't freaking wait.
Yeah.
Because power is a nasty thing. I don't want to care about it in my little life.
Right.
And I don't have a little life. I have a big life in the and where the Lord has put me, and I want to have a big life.
Yeah.
I don't want to be someone who just falls through the cracks and cares about the same things the world does. I want to care about what he's put in my life to care about. I want to care about what he's asking me to care about, because it could be over any second.
Yeah.
Especially in the world we are in right now. Any second it could be over. I want to know I did what the Lord asked me to do today.
Yeah.
I don't want to have any doubt or questions about it. Yeah. And it is, I just got fired up.
Yeah, you're on one.
I think I just screamed.
You did. It was worth it. It was great. I'm super thankful as we close out for one thing today, which is that you didn't leave the podcast 4 seconds early. Like, it would be so weird. Like, if you just left early. Sheesh. You know,
that's pretty unsportsmanlike.
It would be super unsportsmanlike.
What would we call that in the podcast world?
I mean, if I was signing off and I was like, I'm Lee, and then all of a sudden you just dropped the mic, it would be like if a team didn't do a handshake at the end of a competition.
Ooh.
Wouldn't that be weird?
That'd be so weird.
Like, if you were like an SEC team, for instance, and you were playing your SEC rival, one of your SEC rivals, and then like, I mean, yeah, you got beat, but like, the rules of engagement are,
we shake hands, hang
around, and shake hands.
Yeah, we'd be sportsmen. We'd be good people.
Anyway, I like that you always end the show. You know,
thanks. You too. I've never not heard you say, "I'm Lee,"
and I'm Thomas,
and this has been Ancient.
Binds man to man, ever seen in March we